We want to welcome you this morning to River of Life Community Church. Let's all stand again for the reading of the word from Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. The scripture says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun and its going down. The Lord's name is to be praised." Hallelujah. We praise the name of Jesus. Tell someone next to you, "Praise the Lord." Tell them, "I'm glad you're here." It's good to see everyone on this beautiful Sunday morning. We are thankful to be in this place with you. Let's bow our heads this morning and pray before we receive the teaching of the word. Father, we thank you so much for your presence today. We've come to praise you. We've come to lift up your name, the name of Jesus, the saving name of Jesus. Thank you for our great salvation. Thank you for our friends and guests that are gathered here today. We thank you, Lord, for every man, woman, and child that is here. Our prayer is that each one of us draw closer to you today, and each one of us will know you more today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. We are excited to have with us today Rod and Jenny Carlson of Living Lagos. And they come all the way from Wyoming. Is that where you live? But we are so glad that they are here. Their ministry gives voice to the heart of God. And they've traveled across the nation. And they have been in other countries with the message of get the word of God in you. And they've memorized many, many books of the Bible, and they will be sharing with us today from the Sermon on the Mount. And we are looking forward to the word of God being released over us. Is your heart ready to receive God's word today? All right, say, "Jesus, I'm ready to receive your word, and I receive Rod and Jenny Carlson." Let's give them a warm welcome. Jenny's coming first. And we will get a picture afterwards of all of us, if that's okay, Laura. At this time, Jenny.
Good morning. His comment was, "Oh, a lively bunch." That's great. No, we're delighted to be with you folks. It's been a number of years since we were here. So it's nice that you came back and understand that there's a bunch of new people who have never or don't remember us, and we won't hold that against you either. So if you brought your Bibles with you this morning, I want to ask you to leave them closed. I know, isn't that awful? That includes anything that you might have on a screen or anything. Rod's done his memorization work out of the New Living Translation. And since God gave you a good brain, if you're trying to follow along in something that is not the New Living Translation, first edition, you're just going to be making comparisons all the way through, and you might miss what God wants to say to you. This morning, we just want to listen. Do you know that when you're listening to God's word, you have a really good chance of hearing his voice? So that's what we want to do today. When he speaks something just to you, take a moment to make a note of it or whatever. When Rod's finished presenting the scripture, he'll ask you what you heard. And then you get to preach a really, really, really short sermon. Real short. I want to share a little bit of Psalms with you too. Psalms 146 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God, even with my dying breath." Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When their breathing stops, they return to the earth. And in a moment, all of their plans come to an end. But happy are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the one who made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He is the one who keeps every promise forever, who gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts the burdens of those bent beneath their load. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord will protect the foreigners among us. He helps the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. O Zion, your God is King in every generation. Praise the Lord. Well, one day, as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up the mountainside with his disciples, and he sat down to teach them. And this is what he taught them.
God blesses those who realize they need him. For the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn. They will be comforted. God blesses those who are lowly and gentle, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they will receive it in full. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted because they live for God. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy about this. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were also persecuted. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Now you are the light of the world. Like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Father in heaven. Now, do not misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to fulfill them. I assure you, until heaven and earth disappear, even the smallest detail of God's law will remain until its purpose is achieved. So, if you break the smallest commandment, and you teach others to do the same, you will be least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be great in the kingdom of heaven. But I warn you, unless you obey God better than the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees do, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven at all. Now, you've heard that the law of Moses says, do not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you're angry with a brother or sister, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the high council. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So, If you are standing before the altar in the temple offering a sacrifice to God and you suddenly remember someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar and go be reconciled to that person. Then come offer your sacrifice to God. Come to terms quickly with your enemy before it's too late and you're dragged into court, handed over to an officer, and thrown in jail. I assure you, you will not be free again until you've paid the last penny. Now, you've heard that the law of Moses says, do not commit adultery. But I say that anyone who even looks at a woman with lust in his eyes has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So, if your eye, even if it's your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even if it's your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, you've heard that the law of Moses says that a man may divorce his wife by merely giving her a letter of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Now again, you've heard that the law of Moses says, do not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you've made to the Lord. But I say, don't make any vows. If you say, by heaven, it's a sacred vow, because heaven is God's throne. And if you say, by the earth, it's a sacred vow, because the earth is his footstool. And don't swear by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Don't even swear by my head, for you can't make one hair white or black. Just say a simple, yes, I will. Or, no, I won't. Your word is enough. To strengthen your promise with a vow shows that something's wrong. Now, you've heard that the law of Moses says if an eye is injured, injure the eye of the person who did it. And if a tooth is knocked out, knock out the tooth of the person who did that. But I say, don't resist an evil person. If you are slapped on the right cheek, turn the other too. If you are ordered into court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat too. If a soldier demands you carry his gear for 1 mile, carry it 2 miles. Give to those who ask. And don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Now, you've heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. See, in doing this, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For God gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he gives his rain to both the just and the unjust. See, if you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even the corrupt tax collectors do that. You know? If you love only and are kind to only your friends, how are you different from anyone else? That's right. Even pagans do that. Right. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now take care. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired, because then you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. When you give a gift to someone in need. Don't shout about it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of kindness. I assure you, they've just received all the reward they'll ever get. But when you give a gift, don't tell your left hand what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in secret. And your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. Now, about prayer. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly in the street corners and the synagogues where everyone can see them. I assure you, that's all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father secretly. And your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. Oh, and when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. See, they think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father already knows your needs, even before you ask Him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Oh, give us our food for today and forgive our sins just as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, if you forgive those who've sinned against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive your sins. But if you refuse to forgive, your Father will not forgive your sins. Oh, and when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites who try to look pale and disheveled so that everyone will admire them for their fasting. I assure you, that's all the reward they'll ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will suspect you're fasting except your Father in heaven, who knows what you do in secret. And your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. Don't store your treasures here on earth, where they can become eaten with moths and get rusty and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where they will never become moth-eaten or get rusty, and where they'll always be safe from thieves. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will also be. Your eye is a lamp for your body. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul. But an evil eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. Now, if the light you think you have is really darkness, how deep that darkness will be. No one can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life, whether you'll have enough food or drink or clothing. Doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Well, look at the birds of the air. They don't work to plant and harvest and store food in barns, because your Heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to Him than they are. Can all your worrying add even a single moment to your life? Of course not. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work to make their clothing, and yet Solomon in all of his glory was never dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so wonderfully cares for flowers which are here today and gone tomorrow, will he not more surely care for you? See, you have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? For your Father knows all your needs, and he will give you all your needs from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now stop judging others and you will not be judged. For others will treat you as you treat them. Isn't that right? Whatever measure you use in judging others, it will be used to measure how you are judged. Right. And how can you think about worrying about a speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying, hey, no, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, get rid of the log from your eye, then perhaps you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Do not give what is holy to unholy people. Do not give pearls to swine. They'll trample the pearls. Then turn and attack you. Well, keep on asking, and you will be given that for which you ask. Keep on looking, you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And the door is open to everyone who knocks. You parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. Well, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Do for others what you would like others to do for you. This is a summary of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Now you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. Oh, the highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide for the many who choose the easy way. But the gateway to life is small. The road is narrow. And only a few ever find it. Now beware of false prophets who come to you disguised as harmless sheep, but who really are wolves that will tear you apart. Now you can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. Well, you don't pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. That's the first time that ever come out that way. 14 years. Thistles. A healthy tree produces good fruit. An unhealthy tree produces bad fruit. Now, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is being produced. Not everyone who sounds religious is really godly. Oh, they may refer to me as Lord, but they still will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my heavenly Father. On judgment day, many will come and tell me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. And I will reply, I never knew you. Go away. The things you did were unlawful. Now, anyone who hears my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on rock. When the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it will not collapse because it is built on solid rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. Oh, and the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house. It will fall with a mighty crash. When Jesus finished speaking, the people were amazed at his teaching. Because he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. That is what we've come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray. Father, it's your word, it's not ours. It's your work. We're helping, but it's your work. It's not our work. We are your laborers, yes. But you're the author of the work. You're the finisher of the work. So this morning, as the word has gone forth, as your very words, certainly not in Aramaic, but in words we can understand, our vernacular have gone forth, and they are anointed by your power, would you knit them to us? Would you tie them to who we are? That we would grow thereby. That we would, as Ephesians says, come into full maturity. In fact, it says the full stature of Christ. We would come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we would be mature and fully grown in the Lord. Oh God, would you make of us fully grown people in Jesus? If you're here, I'm just going to ask you this question with your heads bowed just for a moment. If you're here and you have never before taken the intentional step of trusting Christ for the issue of your sin, you've never invited him to become the Lord of your life, the Savior of your soul, the one who can rescue you from who you are apart from Christ, and to adopt you into his family by cleansing you from your sin, making you a brand new person. He doesn't fix old stuff. He makes you new. And today is your day to get right with God. If June 11th is your first birthday with Jesus, would you raise your hand? If you're here and you want to get right with Jesus, would you raise your hand? We don't know you guys, but we ask this everywhere we go. Anybody? There's no pressure here, but it's the best deal that you'll find in Indiana or anywhere else today. Okay, well, go ahead, look up here. Remember Jenny said, pay attention, and I'm going to ask you a question. What did you hear? Now's your chance to say, what did you hear in the Sermon on the Mount that maybe you've never heard before? This was met by a tremendous burst of silence. Yes, Jim.
There's a couple things. Let your word be enough. You don't need to.
Yes. Yes.
That was kind of a transition point in America.
That was a transition point, wasn't it?
Yes. And then the other thing that struck me early in the Sermon on the Mount is if you're dealing with anger, you're already under judgment.
Yeah.
That's a common problem with people, that we must deal with our anger issues. It's important to God.
In fact, some of the translations render that verse, if you are angry with a brother or sister without cause. Now, I know that we may think we have cause, but if we examine the basics of what we have going and the reasons for our anger, way too often we have to say, time to shut up, Rod. It's time to deal with this, but isn't it interesting? Anger issues. Anybody else? Just quickly. Yes, dear. Yeah.
Also that people generally end up treating you like you treat them. So that's a good way to hear the golden rule.
Yeah, if you're struggling with someone else, or if you're struggling, so many people struggle with this thing about, and I don't want to open a can of worms here, but they struggle with this thing of race. It doesn't matter which races. Others struggle with, but what's it based on? I know people of every color variety, and there are times if I hold my breath, I become a different color. But what I find is if I treat someone with respect, they treat me with respect. And we've got to get rid of all this preconceived notion stuff and treat each other. I mean, how isn't that called loving one another? Yeah, it really is. Okay. There was one. Okay.
Sorry.
Here we go. Oh, we got
the mic.
He has the mic.
just briefly, it reminded me that if we have the word in our heart, the world cannot take it away.
Oh.
Just, I admire what you've done by just placing the word in our heart. You know, we always come up with ways that we can say and ways that we can express what God's done for us, but it's already been laid out before us.
Yes.
If we just keep it in our heart.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. Yeah. Memorizing scripture is not a magic bullet to maturity, but it's a great stair step, and it's one of the things God tells us to do.
Right.
It really is. Thanks for that comment. Yes?
Just reminded that we need to do good things and not be boastful about it.
Yeah, notice he kind of got us three times there, didn't he?
I did it. Yeah. Well, we need to do it silently, because like you said, God already knows.
Yeah, where is it? Is it in James where it says, and if you don't brag about the good you do, then you'll be truly wise.
Okay, wait a bit more.
I never do that. Yes?
Things like this little skit here for children is good at home to show us how to do things the way we should. Good at home. It's a good way of showing, even if you know how to do it, it's still a good way.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, let me, on that note, turn a corner here really quickly, because we don't do this just because we like being in a costume and standing here. We pastored two churches, and when we were pastoring our second one after in Rollins, Wyoming, it's kind of like hee-haw days, when they pick a town with 300 or 400 people and say, yee-haw. Well, that was kind of Rollins. It was 100 miles from the nearest Walmart.
Yee-haw.
But we pastored there for 10 years, and then God said, I am changing your assignment, and I'm going to ask you to go and talk to my kids about becoming hiders of the word. Now, we started about just a little over 14 years ago. I started memorizing in the year 2000. So now we're working on our 17th book or portion of scripture that we've memorized. And that sounds like a tremendous feat. It's just little bits at a time. It's like eating an elephant. Mm-hmm. One bite at a time. You know, you can eat a lot of elephants in your lifetime if you do it one bite at a time. The amount of scriptural knowledge in the church in America is frankly dismally slim. And part of it is because we have sort of abdicated our responsibility with regard to knowing the Word of God. And somehow we've laid it on the Janets and the Leonards to try to make us fully developed. But this is also a self-feeding program, folks. And so we're here to challenge you to embrace the discipline of memorizing Scripture by doing this. Go find a chapter. Yeah, a whole chapter. A whole chapter. They are short, they are long.
Yeah.
But go find a chapter. What's your life verse? Go memorize the chapter your life verse is in and find out what your life verse really means. Because it is in the context and the heart of the author. Just memorize something. Go get a chapter and just take the next 2 or 3 months. Don't do it in a hurry. Do it a bit. I memorize the whole book of Philippians a half a verse a night. Because I have a Winnie the Pooh brain. You know. Oops. Winnie the Pooh, a bear of very little brain. Huh? And I couldn't absorb any more than that. So I did. And it took me about 9 months. But I got to the end of that and I said, man, what's next? And it was Ephesians and then James and the Sermon on the Mount, Christmas story, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Revelation, Acts. I mean, it's just, you see, it's not something, and that's not a great, it's not a great accomplishment for us. Jenny's got 6 books too, but we can point to other people who have memorized the whole Scripture.
Yes, yes.
So we're pretty small peanuts in this club. But we want you to join us and make it a bigger club where we are taking the Word of God and hiding it inside, and the Word in you has amazing control and power. It can save your bacon. It really can. It can change the way you think, the way you respond. Why should you memorize? God said so 150 times in the Word. 150 times. He's fairly important. Number two, if you've got a heart to know God and you begin hiding chunks of Scripture, you know, look at chapters before you look at verses. Look at books before you look at chapters. I mean, just trust that God wants you to have more of His Word in you than you have now. You're going to find Him changing you. He may not tell you guys to go buy a motorhome, quit your job, and buy a dress. But on the other hand, he might. Number three, if we ever lose access to our copy of Scripture, our printed copy of Scripture, how much of God's Word will you have available to you
at
any time? Only what you've sent through the windows of your soul and let settle in your heart. It's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you. Have you watched what's happening around the world lately?
Yes.
We've got an enemy. He hates that book. And he's doing everything he can to take it out of your hands. So how many want to join the adventure? It's just a chapter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Easy for you to say, some of you said. Mm-hmm. Just a chapter, but how many want to join the adventure? 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Oh, I surprised too many of you. 1, 2, 3. And some of you are going to try it anyway. Go for it. Thank you, Janet. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Let's give the Lord a praise for Jenny and Rod Carlson. So thankful for their ministry. Thank you.